What we're going to try to do is this. So volume 5 of the Surva series is not exclusively a continuation, but at least the beginning of it is a continuation of what we were, of what we learned in the of what we learned in the past. So for most of last season, we were discussing the fundamental principles of kashrus. And as such, you know, we hopefully understood a little bit about why it is that we have, you know, two sets of dishes, why it is that we wait between milchiks and fleishiks, and fleishiks and milchiks, depending on the specific scenario, and the concept of no sin tam lifgam. We discussed a little bit not bar not, right? Not bar not was the issue of using a par of food in a utensil of the other kind. What happens to it? What we call dairy equipment or meat equipment. So where this picks up, which is why I didn't even really bring any other svarim, because the first part of book number 5 deals with a lot of the very practical examples of the appliances that we have and how do we apply these principles to our modern day appliances. So the first one is easy. The second one is much more complicated, and I don't think we'll accomplish more than those two at least today. Again, I apologize that I broke the printer. I apologize to Alicia that I broke the printer and to anybody else, but I also that we don't have the copies available. Okay, so where he starts off over here, the first appliances that he addresses are refrigerators and freezers. Now, refrigerators and freezers, for the most part, should be straightforward. We discussed a little bit in the past that, again, when you have two items that are cold and they are wrapped and they're covered, you don't really have much to be concerned about, right? I think I mentioned, you know, you don't have to have, I know that, you know, you shop in certain places, they train the, in the good old days, when they were bags, they would train the cashiers, you know, to put the milchik items in one, not to put them with the fleishik. So, there's no real reason to do that, other than, again, when it comes to the fresh meat stuff, sometimes those things aren't wrapped as well as we would like. Which, now that there are no bags, it might end up all over your car. But, you know, and that the juice and the whatnot gets all over the place. But again, if things are, let's say, vacuum packed, you have a pack of deli and a pack of cheese and they're sealed in the fridge, there's no reason that those can't be touching each other. There's no reason those can't be touching each other. Once they're open, okay, different story. But when they're closed, there's nothing at all to be concerned about. So again, once things are open, so then we spoke a little bit, they have to be a little more careful, right? If you're piling up the yontif coming and the refrigerator is going to be full and you have pans of baked ziti and pans of London broil, so it's a tova, not a good idea to pile them on top of each other, because you definitely could end up in a situation where the meat juice spills out from under the aluminum foil and gets inside your baked ziti. Now, b'di'eved will it likely be okay based on principles that we've discussed in the past? Bitul b'shishim, it probably will be, depending on how much. But AB would never allow it. No, but again, we want to avoid.
Yes, a separate dairy fridge.
We want to avoid those situations. Oh. So that's really where the first place where it picks up over here is when things go wrong in the refrigerator. When things go wrong in the refrigerator and the freezer, because we didn't really discuss that too much. Oh. So the question is like this. Right. So what happens if in your refrigerator, right, some milk spills on a piece of chicken or meat? Again, the case that I was just bringing up right now. So on the one hand, right, everything is cold, and we know that when things are cold, there is a lot more room. Taste, in order for taste to transfer from one to the other, you need two things. You need heat and you need liquid. You need heat and you need liquid. Sometimes, if both things are hot and they're on top of each other, then maybe there's going to be able to be a transfer. But generally speaking, you certainly need heat. But is there any other way that some sort of absorption can happen? So he quotes the Gemara Psachim, Adaf Ayin Vav Amar Aleph. So the Gemara Psachim tells the following story. Hahu bar gozla denafa lakada dekamcha. There was a young bird that fell into a container of kamcha. Kamcha was also known as Kutach. Kutach, it seems to be some sort of sour cream dip. Again, based on the... It seems to describe something about spoiled milk, and it turns into the cheese, and they use it, the Kutach HaBavli, the Gemara talks about in some places. The one of the phrases which is often used for something that's obvious is kebeyasa bekutcha, like an egg in kutach. Now, why does that tell you that something is obvious? So I think what it means is the same way that obviously you can eat an egg in kutach. An egg comes from the chicken, but we know that it's not considered to be fleishig. It's parv. So the same way you can put that in kutach. So obviously whatever it is true. So that becomes a phrase. So you have this bargozla denafa lekata dekamcha sharya rav chinuna berei derava miprash ronya. So the question is again: this young bird that fell into the sour cream dip, is it allowed to be eaten or not? Is this considered to be a taroves, a mixture of basar bechalav? So Rav Chinuna, the son of Rava Pashronya, so he permitted it. Sharye v'hani mili chai aval tzli boi klipa. And that is only chai. Now, chai here does not mean that the bird was alive. The bird is definitely dead. Chai means raw. There's a distinction whether what we're talking about is a raw item or already been roasted. Already been roasted. So the Gemara says that if the bird is raw, so again, imagine like a piece of chicken which you've just purchased from the butcher and it's at home. That's when it is going to be permitted. But if it's roasted, avatzli boi klipa, then it requires the removal of a klipa. So again, a klipa, we've discussed in the past that there are different amounts that can potentially be removed. A klipa is a shell, the outer layer, like they compare it to the outer layer of an onion. So it's the thinnest amount that you can physically remove. And the times when klipa is required is usually when we know there was no penetration. We don't think that it got, there's no depth. But we need to make sure that it's not going to be sufficient. Again, if it's raw, what can you do with it? Just wash it off, right? And I think we know that anecdotally, right? It's smooth. It's easy to wash off something which is on a raw piece of meat or raw piece of chicken. But if it's already been cooked, it's a bit more complicated. So here the Gemara says you have to cut off. It's the thinnest layer possible because we're not worried that there was absorption. But it certainly could be on that outer layer, so you have to remove the kadei klipa. V'lo amar ela deles be pili, aval is be pili aser. V'i metuva betavle aser. What does that mean? V'lo amar ela deles be pili. This that we said that it is going to be permitted is only if it doesn't have pili. What are pili? So pili means that there are some sort of cracks. But there are cracks. But if it has cracks, it is going to be forbidden. So I guess the distinction is kind of if you think of a piece of meat versus a piece of chicken. So usually the chicken is very, very smooth. So there are no cracks. It's very easy to wipe it off. But sometimes when you have meat, right, there are all sorts of cracks and crevices in the meat, which I guess is why you can marinate the chicken also. Take that back. I don't know why. But sometimes you have these cracks in the meat, and therefore it can actually get deeper into the meat, and then it's going to be insufficient to simply wipe it off. So if there is be pili, then you're not going to be allowed to, then it's going to be aser. And if mituva betavli, if it has spices on it, then it's also going to be aser. Why is that going to be aser? So again, he explains it based on the mefarshim that changes the qualities of the piece of meat. And that once something has been spiced, the same way I think there's something called like meat tenderizer, right? You can put it on and it changes it, right? It becomes a softer piece of meat. So spices can change the characteristics of the piece of chicken, the meat, whatever it is, and therefore it can now become somewhat more absorbent, and it's going to be usser. Okay. So again, just simple pshat of the Gemara. What emerges from the Gemara is that if you have a raw piece of smooth chicken, completely raw, nothing on it yet, and it falls into milk, we'll just call it a pot of milk, whatever it is, it's going to be permitted as soon as you rinse it off. Because everything is going to come off. There is nothing which you're going to have to be concerned about. If the item, though, is cooked, which would be the example of like the pans or something like that in the refrigerator, and something spills onto it, then you would be required to remove the outer layer. I would assume that we would. You have to just figure out what the metzias is of whether it's again the kutach seems to be something thicker than milk. If it actually fell into milk, we should be. I think we should be concerned that some of it, unless nothing comes off them. I'm not sure.
Probably.
Not sure. Right, I would assume at least a klipa, something comes off of the chicken, but I'm...
But in the milk, you can't find the klipa. Right, how do you...
Right.
So I'm asking, is the milk...
No, I hear what you're saying.
So then the milk becomes... Then the milk, we have to question whether it's cultivation.
Right. Let's think about it. Let's take the meat first, then we'll try to get back and think about it. It's a good point. Okay. The question, though, is what is the... Gemara says tzli. So tzli, again, we've spoken about this many times in the past, that there are different processes of cooking, and they are technically very, very different, right? Tzli, bishel, afia are three completely different ways of cooking. And yet, there are times when we use them interchangeably, and there are times when Chazal use them interchangeably. So what exactly does tzli mean over here? So says the Ran on this Gemara in number 2 over here, Da'armin and Chai... Hainut sonein. So chai here means that it is cold, raw and cold. Utsli hainu roseach. Tsli means that it's hot. So not just that it has, not that it has been cooked, but that it is actually, that it is actually hot. Aval tsli sonein. But if it was like the case of the refrigerator where the piece of meat was already cooked and now it's cooled down, why should it be any more chamar? Why should it be any more? Why should it be any more stringent? Just wash it off. It couldn't have been. As if there's no absorption, then the solution should simply be to wash it off. It's talking about when it is still hot from being roasted. Okay. And he suggests that it's normative for the Gemara to use the term tzli to refer to a piece of meat that is hot. Oh. So that changes the Gemara significantly. Because now it has nothing to do with whether it was already cooked or not. It really has to do with hot versus cold, which again is something that we've had before, and it's not so not such a big chiddush to us. And in a certain sense, limits the Gemara. And then he says, "Udarmina nami vias be pile kulo aser." And now, when it says that if it has cracks, that it is going to be forbidden, what is that going back on? Hainu betzli roseach de ispe pili de agav pili bala v'metava betavlin v'ave roseach avagav de leispe pile kulo aser. So when it says that it has cracks, then it is going to be forbidden, that is referring to when it is hot meat. Hot meat that has cracks is going to be what? More usser. Meaning what? Meaning, the first part of the Gemara says that if it's tzli, you only have to take off one layer. That's if it was hot. Hot but smooth. If it's hot with cracks, then it's going to, we're concerned it's going to penetrate, be absorbed throughout the chaticha, throughout the piece of meat, and the whole piece is going to be usser. And then how does he read the last line of the Gemara? And im tavo betavlin, if it has spices, v'have roseach, and it is hot, then the spices replace the cracks. And that will also be completely usser. So according to the Ran's understanding of the Gemara, if it is cooked and still hot, then the outer layer is, again, if it's cold, then you just have to rinse it off. If it's hot, then just the outer layer has to be removed. If there are cracks, or if it has been spiced and it is hot, then the entire thing is going to be usur.
So according to the Ran, if it's hot and it cooled down, the assumption is that the cracks went away?
It's that or this, or when you rinse it off, it's not going to get any further in than the rinsing. Meaning it's not going to get observed. The point is that it's going to only be on the surface level. So whatever you're going to do to rinse off the surface level will suffice even for the cracks. While it's hot, and therefore it's the meat is penetrable, so then through the cracks it's going to penetrate deeper. That is the theory of the... Yeah, I'm not claiming that the Ran did experiments, I don't know, but that's how the Ran understands at least the metzius of this Gemara. Right, but that's true. But that's while it's hot, right? If you take that same soft piece of meat that's hot, and you take the spare ribs that are falling off the bone, and you put them in the refrigerator, and then you try eating, it's hard again. It will soften up again when you make it hot. But that's exactly I think how the Ran is understanding. Right, while it's soft, then it can penetrate further. When it is when it's cold, it's not going to penetrate at all. That is the Ran's understanding of the of this Gemara. However, the Rosh and Tosos disagree. He quotes it here from the Beis Yosef. Kekasav HaRosh, Aval Tzli Boi Klipa. When we say that cooked food requires klipa, it's afilu tzonein. It's even if it is roasted. So it's the case that, again, in the refrigerator, where the milk spills onto the already cooked London broil, whatever it is, it's not enough to rinse it off. It'd be gross also, but it's not enough to rinse it off. You have to actually cut off a layer. Why? It's still, even when it cools down, it's still softer. It's still softer, and therefore it is going to absorb. V'i is bepile, and if it has cracks, while it is cold, aser kule velosagi lebeklipa, then it's going to penetrate even deeper. So major extremes in terms of these two shitas of how to eat the Gemara. Is the Gemara talking about a cold piece of meat, or is the Gemara talking about a hot piece of meat?
If I didn't see some of it, isn't there a difference? The Gemara is talking about cold, it's talking about room temperature pretty much. I mean, we're talking cold, we're talking refrigerated.
Maybe, but I guess we could see if that makes a difference. But once it's again, I don't know if that's true. I mean, they kept things cold outside. You know,
once something is room temperature, it's not as soft anymore.
It's certainly not as soft. I guess his question is, but if the svara is that it's still going to, I don't know.
You can't kind of roast when it's hot. You have to wait until it reaches room temperature.
Right, otherwise it falls apart.
Otherwise it falls apart. So that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we paskin? How do we paskin this? How do we paskin this shiloh? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Tzadi Aleph Siv Zayin. Tzli roseach. So right away we know that the Shulchan Aruch is paskining like the Ran. Right, the Ran was the one who said that it was hot. So tzli roseach shenafal lemaliach. If a hot roasted piece of meat fell into some salty dish, obviously a milchik one. Otherwise, this wouldn't make any difference to us. Afilu nachmal machmas molcho boi klipa. Even if it's not so salty, it can be eaten despite its salt. It's going to require a outer layer to be removed. V'imesh bo bekaim. The bekaim are the what the Gemara called the pili, right? Require the cracks. Oshu metuva b'tavlin v'tzir roseach, or it's hot but it's spiced, kulo aser. The whole chaticha is going to be aser. So again, that is a kula. Right? The Ran is a kula, right? Because it's not as big a chiddush to say that it's going to absorb when it's hot. To say like what Tosfos is going to say and what the Ramah is going to tell us in a second, that you're going to be machmir, and you're going to say that's asr, even when it's cold, that's the bigger chumrah. So the Ramah's mekil comes along, the Bechaber's mekil comes along the Ramah, v'yeshomrim dafilu heim tzonenim, even if they are cold. That yeshomrim is the rush, and the Tosfos that were quoted by the Beis Yosef, dinach, it's going to be the same halacha, V'chein yesh linhog im ein hefsed meruba. And that is what one should do unless there is a significant loss. Now, hefsed meruba is code word in the Ramah that may ikar adin the halacha is like the mechaber. And that really the mechaber is right. If it was not true that the mechaber was really right, then even if it was hefsed meruba, sometimes we have to give up in life, even in order to preserve the dinei haTorah. But once we're being machmir again for a shita and rishonim and a significant shita and rishonim, if there is a hefsed meruba, and again, how to define hefsed meruba is a totally different topic. Hefsed meruba is clearly subjective. It's clearly subjective. For somebody who all they have in their house is a one chicken, then one chicken can be a hefsed meruba. For somebody who's cooking 40 chickens, then one chicken or one piece of chicken might not be a hefsed meruba. So again, it is clearly something which is subjective and be'enei hadayin to assess. Oh. So lichora, the halacha should be, in our case, of the food that spills, if something spills, milk spills, onto your cold roast in the refrigerator, that svardim should be able to be makil. But Ashkenazim should have to cut off the outer layer, right? Just based again, unless there is hefsed meruba, unless there is hefsed meruba.
Now this is only if it's for a short time, right? Because 24 hours you end up in kavash.
We're gonna have to get there. We're gonna get to kavash. Kavash is on the next part. Yes.
Okay.
Again, the details of kavash and what exactly it means and where to apply it are not 100% obvious. But we'll mitz Hashem. We'll get there. Okay, so that lechora should be the halacha. But interestingly, he quotes here a fascinating tshuva from the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi was a Tzvi Pesach Frank, and he says as follows. He asked the following question: Nishalti b'kadera shechalav she'amda b'madafa elyon sheva mekarer. So you have a pot of milk that was on the highest shelf, the upper shelf of the refrigerator. Umitachter haisamunachas chatichas of kar mevushal. And under it there was a piece of cold cooked chicken. Vayede tazuza nishpach chala v'socha klisha basar of munach. And they know, especially if you have milk in bags, especially if your milk is in bags and you move around the bags, it's not so far-fetched that some milk is going to spritz out and go from the top shelf of the refrigerator down to the shelf below it. Says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, V'nira shebenidon shelfaneinu yesh letzadev leheter. That's surprising. We would have thought to be machmir, right? Ashkenazim. Be machmir like the Ramah. What's his svara to be mekil? No, but that's the chumrah of the Ramah, that even when it's cold, you still have to take it off. So you should be machmer.
Yeah, but
Oaf is not meat.
Oaf is not meat. Now, you'll ask me a question on that in a second. V'nira shebenidon shelfaneinu yesh letzadev leheter, shebasar oaf b'chol avein ela medrabanan. Excellent. Everybody remembers last year, Baruch Hashem. So even if you cooked it together, chicken and milk would only be derabanan. So, Zevite, you have to be that disconcerned, even for the over here. He says, not. Ubiprache below Bishop Gambasar Eman El Medraban. Okay, fine. Ibra Shapos. So, what's your kasha? Everybody's going to ask the same kasha. What was the case of the Gemara?
A bird.
Ahu Bar Goza. Right? So, the Gemara was talking about a bird. So, how can he claim that's different? Don't worry, he thought of that too. Right, Ibra Shaposkim Machmir Machmir and Gambov. I know that the poskim are Machmir or Machmir even by Ov. Shrei Kol Machlok Zaposkim means that Tzliv Efeir Shtivra Gemar Bar Gozla, because the whole Machlokas is about explaining the din as it relates to the bird that fell in. So obviously we're talking about Ov, and Ov is only the Rabbanan. Shubaser Ov Mikom Makom LeDina SheAnu Machmirim Mishum Sveka De Dina Yesh LaHakel BeBaser Ov Shemud Rabbanan VeLismuch Al Poskim Amatirim. Fascinating svara. He said like this: I understand that the Machlokas was about a bird, but it wasn't only about a bird. It was also about meat. It happened to be that it was about a bird. So he says like this: Why are we, what's really the halacha? The halacha is really like the Ram, and like the Shulchan Aruch said, that it has to be hot. We are machmir for the, like the Rama for the other Shita. It says it's enough to be machmir by meat and not by oaf, even though the machlokas was about oaf. You're allowed to do that. If you're a tzivei mitzvah freak, you can do whatever you want. But again, it's a fascinating way of looking at it. He's saying that there is it, even when you're even within the each of the shitas, there is a we have to remember that there's a distinction between oaf and basar. So each one is going to say that the halacha is the same because that's how they learned pshat in the Gemara. But if we want to now go ahead and say we're going to go the extra mile and be machmir, again, for a real shita in the poskim, then we don't necessarily have to be machmir in a situation that is more kal. In a situation that is more kal. And therefore, he suggests that you can be makil in such a way. Again, it does have far-stretching nafkaminas in terms of other cases also, of when you're going to be machver for different opinions, how you're going to apply it. But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is willing to do it. How did he actually paskin the halacha? He says, L'chein amarti l'adiach etev esa'of. Wash off the chicken very, very well. V'lecho esa'of be'odokar v'lo lebashlo. He says, oh, but, keep it cold. Keep it cold. Aye, if you cook as long as you're a button, yeah. But this is, what he calls trade Rabbanan. It's two Rabbanans, right? Because the whole thing is only Rabbanan, Of, and Chalav. And it's not even Mavushal. So it's even better. So he says, Ki abish latzo iser, v'ish k'tzah savek shemanisher tam chalav, apili v'inosin savek l'chatchila. Don't get involved in such a suffix. Oh, fascinating. Fascinating. So maybe, again, la halacha.
But that's only if it was cooked, right? What does he say if it's not cooked?
If it's,
you have a piece of raw chicken.
Right.
So he's telling me to throw it away. Because...
No. If it's raw, that's going to be more kal. All right. Raw is more kal.
But then I'm going to have to cook it even if I wash it off.
Right. But by chai, we were allowed to wash it off. Right? Hani milichai, about sleep, boy klipa.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
Well, good. That is part one. So that seems to be, again, an extra reason maybe to be a little bit more careful, to make sure to be careful how we leave things in the refrigerator. But an interesting kula that at least if it happens and it's not b'makom hefsed, if it happens and it's b'makom hefsed, so then the Rama already says you can make it. But if it's not b'makom hefsed and we're talking about chicken and you're going to eat it cold, that already might be the linchpin. I'm not sure how many foods.
If you want to eat it hot, could you have done klipa then?
Yes. Yeah. No, klipa would certainly work. Yeah. Klipa would certainly work. Oh. Then he moves on. Let's see if we can... we can get this now. So, see? To kavush. Because we've thrown out the term kavush numerous times, but we've never quite explained what kavush means. So, the idea is like this. We know that when you pickle something, it changes the characteristics of the food. V'haraya, pickles, right? Pickle and a cucumber are not the same thing. They might be the same bracha, but they're not the same thing. So pickling has a significant effect on the food. That is the process of kavush. So the Gemara has a chiddush. That kavush is kimavushal. That this process of changing through pickling has the same status as cooking. The same status as cooking. Oh. Now, in most situations, who cares? What difference does it make? But if you're going to have a situation of meat and milk, then it becomes very, very important if this is like cooking or if it's not like cooking. So the Gemara Pesachim and Daf Ayin Vav quotes Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, Maliach Hareyu Kiroseach, Kavush Hareyu Kimavushal. A salted food, again, means very, very heavily salted. It's not really our topic for the moment. Can be considered like something that is hot. The salt has that quality to it, same way it draws out the blood from the meat. But more important for us, kavush, a food that's marinating in vinegar, brine, something like that, has a status of mevushal. And therefore, if you have something, and again, what we have to figure out is at what point is it considered to be kavush? Right? Just because you put something in liquid does not automatically mean that it is pickled or that it is pickling, right? Sometimes things just soak in liquid. So where exactly do we have concerns? So the Gemara in Pesachim says like this. V'rabbanan mibasar v'chalav lo garminan. So again, the Gemara there is talking about the source of what the chiddush is when it comes to basar v'chalav. And the Gemara says, the chiddush, the basar v'chalav is a chiddush. Umay chiddush, what's the chiddush? El ditaru le'kuli yoma b'chal b'shari. Bashu le'bishule asa. If you take a piece of meat and you soak it the entire day in milk, it doesn't become aser. You just have to rinse it off. But if you cook it together, it becomes aser. That is part of the chiddush, of the combination of the mixture of basar b'chalav. So what does it sound like? It sounds like you need bishul, and it sounds like kavush is not considered to be like bishul when it comes to basar b'chalav. Because that's exactly the case that the Gemara is giving. The taru le'kula yoma. Right? You're soaking it for the entire day. And then Beis Yosef makes that hara. The Rush writes, v'shamati b'shem ritzba dimshah b'socho yom sholem e'es le'es. If you soak a solid food in something else, in a liquid, for 24 hours, nikra kavush, it's called kavush, uboleyo polekim avushal, and it absorbs and it expels just as if it was cooking. What's the raya? V'raya midarminan b'chulen basar b'chalav chiddushu ditar de kul yom b'chal b'shar yibash le'asar u'ma chiddushu. What's the chiddush? Kol yisur shemitur nami dinu gen ditzon v'tzon lo mitzvah v'lo bala. What's the chiddush, right? The chiddush has to be there's something out of the ordinary. If it was always true that kavush is not like mevushal, and so who cares that you soaked it all day long? So I soaked it all day long. The Torah says that only bishul is a problem. Oh, you know when it's a chiddush? It's a chiddush that if I do a process that's the equivalent of bishul, like kavush, it doesn't become aser. And yet bishul itself does aser it. So it says the Ritzvah that kavush kimavushal does not apply, and certainly not on a Doraisa level, to basar b'chalav. Right? Because that's exactly what the Gemara is saying is part of the chiddush. When it comes to other things, afagav ditzonein bitzonein lo bala, even though cold usually is not absorb, im sharu yom shalem nesu mitam kavosh. Has to be a normal way of cooking. I think we spoke about that at one point earlier as well.
I'm confused by that. Milk is so different than vinegar.
Right.
So much softer. Like in the Gemara, kavush is vinegar.
Right. So that's all we have to. Well, we don't know. Again, the Gemara doesn't say that. That's our assumption. Our assumption is that you're being kovish it in something which is normally. Which normally is used for that purpose. So we're going to have to hopefully see shortly. Are all liquid? You soak it in water. Is that considered to be? That its thing is kavush? So we'll hopefully see as we wrap up this part. So the Beis Yosef says kavush bitzir, right? That's what you're pointing out. If it's soaking in brine. Says there are differences in the length of time it takes to make it kavush, depending on what it is. So if it's something that's a typical brining agent, you wouldn't need 24 hours, right? The Gemara there by the milk said 24 hours. You would just need the normal, meaning basically it replaces heat. So whatever the normal amount of time it would take to cook it, that would be sufficient to be kovish it. That would be the answer, according to the Rush, to your question. Other liquids do something, but it takes a lot longer. Oh, says the Shulchan Aruch, Iser Shenishra Im Heter, May Eisles Bitzoyin, if you have something which is forbidden food, together with something which is mutter, and they soak together 24 hours in cold, Mikri Kavosh, it's called Kavosh. Vareuke Mevushal Venesar Kulo. And it is like Mevushal, and the whole thing becomes Asar. Avapachas Mikan Vadachasagi. Right? But where do you draw the line between something which is soaked and has to get rinsed off? He says 24 hours. If it's less than 24 hours, you can simply rinse it off. Says the Ramah. V'chol makom darmino kavosh kemevushal. Anytime we say that kavosh has the same status as mevushal, afilu mashechutz lakvisha aser. Even what's outside the air that's being soaked is aser. Right? Not the whole piece doesn't always fit into the liquid. Maybe this thing's sticking out. Does it spread? Yes. Deya kvisha shelamata mifapeya lemala. We had mifapeya, right? That concept. When something's hot, right, it also spreads. So basically, it is replacing. It's replacing the heat. Kimo bevishol. V'yesh merkilim b'mashe b'chutz. There are those that are meka umar, which is outside, meaning it doesn't spread the same way. V'safek kavosh. If you're not sure, aser. Except basar b'chalav. Why? Because what the Gemara said, that only derech bishol asra Torah. Oh. Says the Shach. They're those that are make what's outside. That's the Ramah's other work. That is the halacha. That is the halacha. Okay. So says the Prima Gadim now that when are we worried about kavosh? When are we not worried about kavosh? So the Prima Gadim suggests kavisha lo shayach el davar gush. You have to have if you have a solid food in a liquid, and each can expel and absorb from the other, that's when we are concerned. But when both of them are moist and they're going to mix together immediately, they're going to forbid each other. And you have two solids that have a little bit of moisture on them. Just because there's a little bit of liquid does not mean that kavosh is going to take place. Lo shayach gabay kvisha, afilu yamdi yom ramabgen. If you think like that for a week, it doesn't matter. So again, what the Rishonim and the Poskim are struggling with, right, is where exactly you draw the lines. What items? What if part of it is not if it's not completely submerged? How long does it have to be? Everything is very difficult. So he concludes here with an interesting question. Right? His question is this. Would the halacha of kavosh apply to foods in the freezer, such as ice cream? Such as ice cream. What does that mean? So he says like this. Kli shehaya sham glida chalavis yosef michav talad shalos b'makfi. Right? Because again, kavosh in theory could it be between the utensil and that which is inside of it? If you have something, milk, in a fleshic utensil for too long, are we going to be concerned about kavosh? So what about ice cream? Ein l'kli din shechalavi. The pyrof container, if you put the pyrof container with ice cream in it, and it's there for more than 24 hours in the freezer, does not become milchik. Why? Kevin sheaglida yesh lo din yavish, ubiyavish ein din kavosh. When it comes to things that are just solid, there is no halacha of kavosh. So, yes, kavosh sometimes applies, but it's other than liquid sitting in utensils. You don't have so many cases of kavosh. The average, you know, the case we're talking about of the liquid falling into the a little bit of the meat, it's not submerged in it. It's not submerged in it. So really, the only times that I think, for the most part, when kavosh questions come up, are if you're putting something, a liquid milchik in a fleshic container for a long period of time, or in a pyrof container, and then maybe that changes the status of the container, those types of questions. But most situations, there happens to be that it's sitting in liquid, do not automatically generate this halacha of kavosh. Okay. The next topic is much, much more the maisa. It's too big for right now. I'll just very quickly introduce it. But the question of ovens. Ovens have the challenge because we don't have any choice but to use it for milchiks and fleshiks. in most situations, Baruch Hashem, in some larger homes, maybe we do have the ability. But the question is, if that ability becomes an inconvenience, is there any requirement to do so? How do we use ovens with both milchiks and fleishiks is the next topic. And again, and the difference, obviously, between ovens of old and ovens of new may create a very different perspective. So Mirtz Hashem, we will deal with that next time.